Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
The New Statesman.
I'm Ida Vogue. It's Monday, the 17th of April, and you're listening to World Review from The New Statesman, a twice-weekly international news podcast. Every Monday, we interview a guest for their unique perspective and expertise. Then, later in the week, we come together to unpack some of the most significant stories in world affairs. Today, I'm speaking to Pyotr Sauer, a Russia reporter at The Guardian, about the detention of the journalist Evan Gershkovits and Russia's hostage diplomacy. Pyotr, thanks so much for coming on the podcast. We thought we'd invite you because although you work at The Guardian now, and Evan, who's been detained in Russia now for 2 weeks, is a journalist at The Wall Street Journal, and you're both former colleagues at The Moscow Times, which is a kind of outlet which was formerly based in Russia, where a lot of Russia reporters cut their teeth. Yeah. So obviously, you know Evan, and you also know the country quite well. Can you start off by talking about kind of Evan's situation? I imagine most of our listeners will probably be familiar with it. But yeah, he's been detained for 2 weeks. Can you talk about where he is now and perhaps what it looks like might be happening?
As you said, Evan was detained 15 days ago on March 29th while reporting in Yekaterinburg, the third biggest city in Russia. And then he was overnight brought to Lefortovo jail in Moscow and charged with espionage. And he's been staying in Lefortovo jail ever since. Lefortovo jail is this notorious Soviet-era prison in central Moscow that was created by the Soviet Union to imprison mostly political prisoners, high-profile prisoners. So think of Alexander Solzhenitsyn, the writer, was one of the prisoners who spent some time there. He spent his first 2 weeks there in complete isolation, in quarantine, so he was completely alone. We know that lawyers visited him twice now. Lawyers appointed by the Wall Street Journal. They said he's in relatively good spirits. He's in good health, making jokes, so being the Evan we know. But Lefortovo is very tough. It's really meant to isolate you. After quarantine, which should end today or tomorrow, he'll get a second prisoner in his cell, and that's the only person he'll be physically talking to for as long as this case lasts before he gets his sentencing. And that could be another 6 months, it could be even longer, unfortunately.
So Evan was arrested on espionage charges, and we've had all these statements from example, Dmitry Peskov, the Kremlin spokesperson, essentially prejudging his guilt. Yeah. Does this suggest that this kind of came from the top and that it was approved from the top? And if so, what does that suggest about the direction of Russia and maybe the hostage diplomacy that Russia is pursuing?
Yeah, the early signs were right away there that this was not a random operation by local policemen in Yekaterinburg. This was really coordinated from the very top. On Thursday morning, Dmitry Peskov, a Putin spokesperson, said Evan was caught red-handed. Foreign ministry spokeswoman said the same thing. The talking points were very similar. So early on, we understood that, yeah, this was organized from the top. Bloomberg had a piece yesterday based on their Kremlin sources saying that Putin personally approved this, which didn't surprise us at all. Yeah, and this is an extremely worrying development, of course. This is the first time since 1986 that a foreign U.S. journalist has been accused of espionage. This is unprecedented in modern Russia under Vladimir Putin. So this really shows that they're willing to go this far in their goals. And I think the main goal here is hostage taking, and they're probably looking to eventually exchange Evan for one of the real spies that are currently imprisoned in the West.
So who are these spies that Russia could be trying to trade Evan for?
These are just speculations at this point. We do know that the US has said that during the previous prison exchange talks with US basketball star Brittany Griner, Russia reportedly wanted Vadim Kresikov. He is a Russian security service agent who killed a Chechen opposition voice in central Berlin a few years back. And he got a life sentence in Germany. So he's there for life in jail. At that time, Germany didn't want to cooperate. And I think it might be tricky because obviously Germany is not involved in this case. But it looks like Russia wants Kresikov back really badly. There have been some arrests of a few sleeper agents or deep spies, or how Russia calls them, illegals. These are Russian spies that work under different identities. So a few of those have been arrested recently, a couple in Slovenia. Another guy got arrested in Amsterdam and he's in Brazil right now. So these are the potential names that Russia would want to exchange Evan with.
And obviously you're a former colleague of Evan. I think you are a close friend of his. Can you talk about the kind of person he is? And yeah, I guess why Russia might have, or why the Kremlin might have decided to target him in particular.
Yeah, Evan and the person and sort of and Evan, the journalist, are closely interlinked. As a person, he's extremely curious, generous with his time, sociable. And that's been really, I think, reflected in his work. When we see this kind of stories he did, he could always talk to sources, make them feel comfortable, at ease. He traveled the whole country to do amazing reporting. Yeah, I've worked 3 years with Evan and he was a dream colleague, always generous with his time, taught me a lot about journalism. He was very good at what he did, but he always wanted his colleagues to do well as well. And it is quite rare for journalists, I think. And why Russia targeted Evan specifically, these are just also again speculations, but Evan did have a US passport. He was an American guy. There weren't many Americans left in the country, a handful, five or six. And you know, he's a guy who did really strong stories, traveled a lot. So maybe the Kremlin did get annoyed by his reporting, but these are theories at this point. And I don't think the Kremlin really needed an excuse to do what they did.
And what do you think this presages for the future of independent reporting in Russia? Obviously, you've reported from Russia as well as Evan, but now you're outside the country, you're in Amsterdam. I assume by the way you're talking about the regime, then that there aren't really any immediate prospects of you returning. What does this mean for the future of independent reporting in Russia? Because until now, Russian reporters were very strongly suppressed and repressed, but foreign reporters, at least Westerners, had more freedom and were left alone a bit more by the authorities, especially if they had accreditation, as Evan did. But now those rules seem to have been torn up by the Kremlin.
Yeah, no, exactly what you said. Russian journalists, most of them left when the war started. Most independent journalists left because of real fears of prosecution. Russia introduced a series of fake news laws that basically criminalized Russian reporting. But we foreigners, we thought we were safe as long as we were accredited by the foreign ministry. There was this unspoken rule that as a foreign journalist, you might be followed, you might be a little bit harassed or whatnot, but you would never be charged with these bogus claims. So that's why Evan always said I should be on the ground because I am a foreign journalist with accreditation and my Russian colleagues can't be doing this work. So I'm privileged and I need to tell the world what's going on. But obviously, after Evan's arrest, everything has changed. I think every newsroom is having these internal discussions right now. At the moment I'm here, I don't really see how I could return in the coming months. At the same time, access is important. So it's weighing up the risks and rewards. But it does seem that, especially as an American or British journalist, it seems very risky to do any real kind of reporting inside of Russia.
And just to be clear, Evan was not naive about these risks. He knew the risk. He understood what he was risking, but he chose to stay.
No, I mean, he always followed all the security protocols and he was never naive. We always talked about these things. But again, espionage is something that they haven't charged anyone with in almost 40 years. So that they would go this far, I think, would have come as a shock to him. It definitely came as a shock to all the journalist community. Because it's just unprecedented, because it's so absurd. And Evan was an accredited journalist for a big American paper. The foreign ministry knew exactly what he was doing there, who he was. They have had to confirm his stay for many times. So I think, yeah, this sort of charge was just unprecedented and we did not see it coming. No.
Wherever you are in the world,
if you're interested in global affairs,
you can subscribe to The New Statesman in digital, in print, or both from as little as £1 a week. That's 12 weeks for just £12.
That's €1 a week in Europe and just $2 a week in America.
Just go to www.newstatesman.com/podcast offer.
Hi, I'm Anoush, and I host the New Statesman podcast. Twice a week, we get under the skin of Westminster to help understand what's going on and what's going to happen next. We interview politicians, policymakers, and people on the front line to get you the full story behind the headlines. Plus, hear from our award-winning editorial team, including political editor Andrew Marr, to get to the bottom of what on earth is happening. Listen to the New Statesman podcast. You can subscribe now wherever you get your podcasts.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Can you just walk us through what is likely to happen now? As I understand it, he's gonna sit in detention for probably months, and then there's gonna be a trial. He's almost certainly gonna be convicted, and then he'll officially be quote unquote a spy, and then potentially could be traded for other, as you said, real spies, real Russian spies, which are held by Western or foreign countries. Yeah.
No, exactly. It's at the end of May, a judge will decide whether to extend his pre-trial detention, which will happen, and the case will start. Because it's an espionage case, it will be pretty close. We won't know much details about the charges against him. The journalists probably won't be allowed in the room, in the court case room. And then this might take months and months. Brittany Griner's case took 8 months to complete, and that was a pretty simple one. She was accused of bringing drugs into the country, and this is espionage. It's much more complicated. He faces up to 20 years. Traditionally, Russia never does prison exchanges before someone gets convicted. But again, we're living in these sort of unprecedented times. I think many of Evan's friends hope that this could be done before he gets his official charge. So far, Russia has only talked about prison exchange once in regards to Evan, and they said that he needs to be convicted first. But we'll see how. It's just a lot depends on how desperate Russia is also for exchanging Evan for one of their guys.
And as you've alluded to, this is obviously not the first case of pretty arbitrary detention of an American citizen in Russia. There was the Brittany Griner case. She was arrested on pretty, not completely fabricated, but very largely trumped up drugs charges, and eventually exchanged for Victor Bout, who was an arms dealer who was held by the US. And there's another one, Paul Whelan, who has been held in Russia since, I think, 2018 and still has not been released. Would you expect that the Evans eventual release or exchange will be as part of a deal with perhaps Paul Whelan also?
I mean, Paul Whelan's family this week came out and said, you know, that Paul is terrified to be left behind again. He was hoping that he would be exchanged with Brittany Griner. That did not happen. So I think Paul Whelan's family will be pushing hard, and Whelan himself, to be included in Evans' exchange as well. But I think it all depends on who Russia has in mind, who Biden is willing to trade for. It sounds horrible. It feels like you're exchanging cards or something, but it will in the end depend on who the West and who Russia is willing to change. And will Whelan be part of it? Maybe, but we can't know for sure.
And just finally, how do you evaluate this in terms of the evolution of the Putin regime? Because you and Evan, in fact, worked in Russia under Putin, obviously before the war, when I think it's fair to say there were many more freedoms and there was something like a semblance of, or at least some remainder of, a constitutional order in Russia, which has now almost completely been destroyed by the war and by the changes that have happened within Russia since the war broke out last year. And this is just one more example of Putin tearing up long established precedents, any kind of semblance of a rule of law. So yeah, what does this tell us about the kind of evolution of Russia under Putin?
I think it really tells us who is fully in charge right now in the country, and these are the hawkish elements of the federal security services. Now it really shows that, yes, Putin gives his approval, but these cases are prepared by the FSB. And the FSB is also the one who, as we believe, prepared the Ukrainian invasion as well. So we're really seeing that Putin no longer discusses his sort of ideas with the more liberal, quote unquote, fractions of the Kremlin as he used to. But over years, he's been completely isolated. And now he himself is the hawk in charge, and he's surrounded by other hawks who want eternal confrontation with the West, who don't really see how this war could end, because for them, the West is just the enemy. And it's a worrying trend. We're seeing that more and more political opponents in Russia are getting long Soviet-style sentences. Kara-Murza, the political opposition leader, who is actually with a British passport, he might be sentenced to 25 years. So we're seeing really sort of Stalin-esque trials with very long sentences.
All right, so thanks so much. And yeah, of course, we're all hoping that Evan will be released quickly, as well as Paul Whelan and all the other hostages in Russia. Thanks so much for coming on the podcast. That's all the time we have for today. If you're a regular World Review listener and haven't already subscribed, please subscribe and leave us a good review. Our producer has been May Robson. Thank you so much for listening, and until next time.
Trust in politics is broken. So can we get UK politics working again?
That was the last time we were happy. 2012.
I'm Beth Rigby, Sky's political editor. Join me every week with Labour's Jess Phillips and Conservative peer Ruth Davidson for some electoral dysfunction.
This idea of nuance has completely left politics. Yeah.
Together, we'll focus on the policies that could deliver political satisfaction. Follow Electoral Dysfunction wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, Freddie here. I want to tell you about a new way you can support the New Statesman's independent journalism. Every morning I send out Morning Call, our daily newsletter covering everything you need to know about British politics. It's free to sign up, plus for just £3 a month, you'll get a recommended daily piece of ours sent to you in full, plus exclusive polling analysis from Ben Walker, a weekly update from Will Dunn, and our featured piece on Sundays. If you enjoy this podcast, you'll love Morning Call. Head to morningcall.substack.com and subscribe now.